everyone, and welcome to the Skills Pod podcast with me, Tony, and with me today I have...
Emma.
And Liz. Hello.
My two wonderful colleagues here in the team, and all three of us were all academic skills advisors, and today we're going to talk about the very interesting topic of resilience. And what we mean by this is we're going to talk through some of our experiences of what issues potentially we've had in university, how we've overcome them, and what techniques we have to be resilient. So it's a really key skill to develop, not just for university career, but for life in general, to be resilient. And we think that's really, really important.
Well, this is a story about not overcoming. This is the diametric opposite of what we're talking about, to give you a bit of context. So, years ago, how long ago? About 2000, maybe
not 2000 years ago.
No, not 2000 years ago. In 2000, I am prehistoric, but maybe not quite as prehistoric as that might actually indicate. Good point. Good point. So the reason it reminded me of this was because Tony was saying we were academic skills. So in a previous life, I used to be an accountant. I was
wow.
Yeah, I was a management accountant for a clothing company, and the only way that I could progress in that job, I was a sort of mid manager, and the only way I could progress was to get my accountancy exams. So I started. There is a management accountancy, or there was then a thing called CEMA, which is quite difficult exams, and I decided I was going to do the ACCA, which was the accountancy ones, and the attrition rates for it are quite high, and the number of people that fail the accountancy exams as you go through is quite a dramatic, you know, it's quite a dramatic percentage. And people, I think you can take it three times, or you could take it three times before you weren't able to resit it, and a lot of people failed the first and second times. It was quite a difficult thing. And I did the course. I was living in London at the time. I was working in North London. The course was in South London. I had a day release from the company that I then had to make back. So you end up getting the time, but having to make it back up. So you do end up exhausted. I could do the accountancy for my job, but going and doing this day release, I was surrounded by people who had done maths A-levels, they'd done maths degrees, they'd done all sorts of statistics. I wasn't a particularly mathsy person. The accountancy bit, I have trouble when the words creative accounting come in and you have to move things around and make it look certain ways. And, you know, there's some transparency in some things that you can hide or whatever. To an extent, and I found what was required and the format for it, and because it was so rigid, very difficult. And I'd never really had panic attacks and things before then, and that was kind of when I started with a bit of anxiety and things around it. My husband, it got so bad that when I was trying to do these exams, that my husband ended up trying to learn some of the ACCA stuff so that he could help and support me with the research and my revision and everything. And it was unbelievable, because I didn't find out until afterwards how other people in the class saw me and how I saw them and how different the whole things were, because quite a few of my colleagues that I was in the class with, they all passed, and they were quite shocked when I failed one of the exams, and they were like, but we always go to you for advice. And it hadn't dawned on me that they thought that I was capable, in inverted commas, and could give them advice, because I didn't feel secure in my knowledge about it at all. And I ended up dropping out of the course and changing careers completely and getting out of accountancy, because I felt I couldn't do it. And it was only catching up with them about 6-8 months later, after I'd made all these changes, that they were saying, but we always used to come to you and ask you, you always knew. And I could do it presumably in the classroom or in a theoretical position, but the stress of the exams and the layout and some block in my head led me to completely change direction. So my resilience was absolutely dreadful at that point. You change, you get over, you find your comfort zone a bit more, and you look back and you think, okay, it probably happened for a reason, but it was pretty rough going through it at the time. And I've struggled with anxiety a lot since then. And I think that's what it leads back to. So not to start you on a bit of a downer, but that was really deep and heavy. Sorry. There's some serious sharing going on in the group.
Hey, this is a safe space. Thank you for sharing with us, Liz. That was, I didn't know that you were in accounting originally. I can't imagine you in accounting. You wouldn't have been able to wear your dungarees.
No, this is true.
So
it was quite a high-end fashion company as well. So you had to be suited and booted and wear makeup and stuff. And that's not really me. So, you know.
And the silver lining is you landed with us.
Woohoo!
Or we landed with you.
Academic skills forever.
I'm trying to think of, I mean, I'm quite stubborn and determined. So that has probably been the theme throughout my life. I did, I failed one of my AS levels and that was like quite a shocking impact, was that I kind of messed up my exams, and that felt quite final. But I remember speaking to my dad about it, and then I spoke to my teachers about it, and I reset my history AS level, and I also reset one of my English literature A levels as well. I hadn't failed it, but my mark wasn't as good as it could have been, so I reset that and passed them both. And then coming to uni, that huge step up to I'd kind of gone from being like, I knew I was good at English in school. My teachers always relied on me to answer questions. Like, I was really shy and unconfident, but in English I was like really, I knew I was good because the teachers would always look at me if they wanted an answer. And that was like the first time in my life that I'd ever had that, because, you know, back then I was quite shy and anxious. Still kind of shy, still quite anxious. But anyway, so I guess for me, going from being that person in quite a small class to going to university and being in a bigger class, going in those big classes and kind of being with other people who seemed a lot cleverer than me, who were chattier than me. It wasn't, you know, the lecturer wasn't looking at me to answer questions in a quiet room. Everybody was, you know, there were big personalities, and that's quite intimidating. So kind of, and then also at university, not, you know, struggling with my mental health and not knowing if it was for me for quite a while. And then, you know, going from perhaps getting A's at AS, A level, to not getting, you know, to getting two twos because, you know, not quite knowing what the step up is. So I guess the resilience to kind of continue studying, to be curious, as we spoke about last time, and having some level of confidence in myself to continue, even with the setbacks. And again, reaching out to those support services, speaking to tutors, and friends as well. Like, you know, you might not instantly make friends at university, but and it might not be friends on your course, or it might be flatmates. It might be that you join a club and find friends that way. But also another kind of story about resilience is when I decided to do a PhD, that I wanted to do a PhD. I couldn't do a PhD without funding. I needed funding to be able to do a PhD. I approached so many universities, contacted so many tutors, and ended up with about places in four universities, but no funding. And at one point I was told I wouldn't get funding because I had a 2-1 2-1 at undergraduate level, and a merit at master's. So I was told, well, you're not going to get funding with that. If you haven't got a first, you haven't got a distinction, no chance of getting funding. but I still carried on because I was like, I want to do this. And it did take me a while, but I did get funding. And it ended up that there were 60 people, 60 applicants for the university I went to. They whittled them down, and I was the one who got the whole funding. And that was just out of sheer determination to, I'm going to get funding and I'm going to do my PhD. Just keep chipping away at it. You will get knockbacks, you will fall, but just reminding yourself of what you want to do and why, I think is really important. And listening to Katy Perry's Raw, that helps.
Always Katy Perry with you. No, they're two really interesting stories about resilience and what's where and what hasn't. For me, my story goes back to undergrads, and this moment in my life, things changed in terms of how I see life and how things, you know, how you approach problems and stuff. I've always been quite a resilient person. I was basically spent my entire childhood in Birmingham Children's Hospital. I had a tumour as a kid, so years going back and forwards, getting that taken out, getting all that sorted. So I've always been very much just take things as they come. But the big thing for me in final year of undergrad, so I don't think anybody ever grows up wanting to be a lecturer or to become an academic skills advisor. I don't think that's on the top of many kids' lists. And I always wanted to, I wanted to be a pilot when I was a kid. And as I was starting to grow up, I wanted to be an air traffic controller. Those in the team know I'm a big av geek. I did flying when I was in the RAF cadets. Absolutely loved it. That was the career I wanted. It's all I ever thought about. It's all I ever did.
And it's all he ever talks about now.
It's all I ever talk about now. Yeah, that is true.
The
that
weather true. And planes.
Yeah. So it's part of the reason I became a geographer. It's the reason I selected like physics and all of that at A level. And I love geography. I always have done. But I wanted to do a degree in it, do that, and then do air traffic control. The life was mapped out. A lot of people, you know, mix
mapped
and match.
Being the operative word.
I like it. That's nice, Al. I'll give you that one, Emma. But most people do flip and flop between what they want to do. But I was always dead set. That's all I ever wanted. And then in final year, it was about halfway through final year, managed to get through all the exams for that. And then the eyesight literally changed. They changed the ruling. And I failed the medical by 0.5. My eyes are out by 0.5. I mean, they've got worse since then, so I actually don't feel too bad about it. But at the time, I was absolutely devastated. You know, everything you've worked for your entire life was just gone on basically a technicality. And as somebody who, did quite well in a lot of stuff, then fail with your own body is so frustrating. And I was like, what do I do? Because I've never had a plan B. Plan B was always, there was no plan B. It was plan A. I had no question in my mind. I would get through all the exams. I would pass. It didn't even occur to me. I would fail the medical on it. And I was like, so what do I do? I remember that she just feel like the feeling of floating. I'd always had a plan, and now you don't have a plan. And it was since that day, things changed where I was like, right, it doesn't matter the best plans you've got, life's going to throw you a curveball.
Definitely.
And you've just got to accept it. You know, there was nothing I could do about that. There's some things you can control and you can sort. Other things there isn't, so what's the point of worrying about it? So that's what happened. And what I find often with life is very interesting is, you know, if you have the right attitude to these problems when they come along and you're like, right, okay, what can I deal with? What can't I? Then if you do work hard and you have the right attitude, that you'll build a door, and that's when opportunity can knock. So literally a couple of weeks later, there was an opening on a master's that was getting put together in environmental sustainability. It's something that I enjoyed doing as part of my geography degree, with sustainability stuff. And I thought, you know what? I'll just go for it, you know, because I enjoy it. it's something I do, you know. And what was the second best thing for a career? Well, it's something that I enjoy doing, you know. Yeah, it's not aviation, but at least I could do research on it and that kind of stuff. So it was that process, thinking of, right, well, I can't control my eyes, so tell you what, let's do this, let's give that a go. And absolutely fell in love with it, fell in love with the research. And that's when I became a research assistant, went on to do a PhD, and then basically did lecturing and ended up in this role. And my life, I think I look back then and it was like, you know, there could have gone two ways. I could have just decided this is a big issue and, you know, everything's terrible. But I just decided, you know what, it is what it is. Let's just deal with it. And, you know, let's just go with these things. Let's do something that I want to do. And that's led me into this path now, which I think is probably the right one overall. You know, I'll still, obviously, of course, I still love my aviation and that kind of stuff. But it's just getting to that mindset of resilience of, you know, sometimes things just happen, you know, and it's nothing that you've done or anything like that. You've just got to be like, do you see it as the worst, biggest thing and everything starts piling on top of it? Or do you go, it is what it is, right? Let's, you know, let's find something different. You know, let's just take it as a setback. What lessons we're learning from it and move forward. I think that's so important, particularly at university as well. You see, you're going to get bad feedback at some point, or, you know, you're going to get a mark you weren't expecting of, you know, don't just let that start to like compound. Look at it, take the lessons away from it, and then go, right, okay, cool, I'm going to take that on. Not going to take it too personally, process it, going to move on. And then how you apply that, I think, is such a good skill. And I think from that day, having your life basically just change on an instant in your career path has been really useful for me, because all the challenges I've faced have always been like, oh yeah, it's fine, I've dealt with this before, you know. So that's my big resilience story, is that really that complete change in career. But it's just the process of being like, yeah, okay, right, that's happened, let's deal with it, let's move on, let's take the lessons and let's apply it to somewhere else, which is really important.
So do we think that resilience is that kind of, okay, this has happened, it's unexpected, it feels bad, but actually there's an opportunity, you know, where's the opportunity? It's like, it's not the end. Resilience is kind of going, right, what can I learn from this? What opportunities have arisen from this? Is that opportunity, for example, I've got a mark I don't like, you know, I'm not happy with. Well, that's an opportunity to engage with academic skills.
For me, it's almost the element of not giving up. You know, yeah. Like you say, you get a bad mark. I remember when I first wrote my first ever paper, and it was a straight out rejection at the editor's desk. Didn't even get to the reviewers. And my first instinct was, I'm not good enough for academia. I shouldn't be here. And everyone's first instant reaction, it's almost human nature to go inward and be like, right, you know, you're fuming, you're absolutely angry, you know, and you just want to throw it away. And some people do that. And I wouldn't say that's the best way, but what you do is you do that, you have a moan, you talk to people, you let it out. You come back to it 2 days later and you look at the comments objectively. So, you know, yeah, taking the emotion, I think that's out really from important. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you read it and go, oh, you know what, there's some good points in there. About everything will work out in the end if you've got the right attitude. So
Shirley and I, who's one of the maths advisors, we've had this conversation quite a lot, and she's very into looking at mindset and resilience. And we've talked about it a few times, and there's something called a growth mindset that really, really feeds into resilience. And we've done it a few times in some classes. I've done it with product design students quite a few times, and I quite like the sort of tangible physical aid that you take in. So I give everybody in the classroom an elastic band. Not exactly the most exciting thing in the world, but it really illustrates what we are talking about, I think, beautifully. That elastic band, when it's just sitting there on the table, that's its comfort zone. Nothing's happening to it. Oh, Emma's got a hairband. Yeah, exactly. That's why I've got some glittery hairbands on a, can you see that?
Amazing.
On a little stag head above me with my hairbands in, because that's where my desk used to be. So I used to grab them down and use them in a one-to-one if I was having to explain growth mindset to people. Sad. Anyway, so the idea is, when it's not under stress, that's its comfort zone. And that's you. You're in your comfort zone. You're not trying to expand anything. You're not looking at anything new. You're just within your knowledge already. Okay, if you put some pressure on it and pull it a little bit.
Is this going to split in my face now?
But this is it. That's your growth zone. And that's where you're being stretched slightly, but not too much that you're overwhelmed, not too much that you are in the third, you know, the freeze, flight, off, or what's the third one? So there's fight or flight, but there's also freeze. Okay, so people forget that. People tend to forget the freeze one. When you are stretched and you don't quite know what you're doing and you're overwhelmed, you're out of your comfort zone and you've gone beyond your growth zone, you go into your anxiety zone. And that's when you get these three automatic responses that our brain kind of goes to automatically. We have to fight to not freeze, fight, or flee. Okay, so the freeze, you know, you have a panic attack or you just, I can't do it and give it up. The fight might be that what the two of you were talking about, you know, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do it, it's not gonna beat me. And the flight one might be potentially me with the accountancy saying I can't do this, it's too much. And it doesn't help us if we're making that decision when we're in an anxiety zone. So what we need to do is try and take the stress off, look at ourselves back in our comfort zone and decide what is a good outcome for us, where we want to grow to, what is the best thing to go forward, what decisions do we want to make consciously. And it's anything, you know, if you are, I don't know, a nurse and you're looking at dosing calculations and you're worried about it, it's a bit overwhelming, stop, go back to something you can do. We were talking about how difficult it can be to get these skills immediately and you have to build up on them. Resilience is just another skill, something that you have to build up on. And the first few times you might feel, this doesn't work for me, I can't do it. That's normal. Go back and try again and use some of the tips you've been talking about, Tony, about, right, what can I see myself doing? Where do I want to be? Am I making this decision based on what I want or because I'm afraid of the possible outcomes or because people are telling me this isn't a good idea? And work out what you want and what's good for you. And then it's going to take away that anxiety and enable you to make a growth choice that's resilient. It's got the ability to keep going.
What I would say it's been great to chat to you both. You say very enlightening. It's very nice that we've been brave enough to share stories and reflections and that kind of stuff. And we are living proof that, you know, we've all overcome challenges. I'm sure we'll have many challenges to come, but hopefully for yourselves, you can have challenges, but you've got an idea now of ways forward and to recognize that you're not alone. We've all gone through particular challenges. And like I say, for me personally, if you reflect on it, you have the right attitude. And I think attitude goes a long way that, you know, as I said, they have the right attitude. Opportunity will knock, you know, things will sort themselves out, but it comes down to you to have that good attitude. Good attitude breeds good things, I often kind of think. So yeah, and remember, we're here as a team, wellbeing team particularly as well are here. Please do make use of the service. Never feel like, you know, oh, I'm a high flyer and I'm struggling and I shouldn't need this service because I should be, my peers think I'm really, really good. You know, that's not the case. Come see us. If you're not one of those students, come see us. We are here. Please do make use of that. And yeah, get an action plan going. Have a introspective think about yourself, how you deal with things. And I guarantee you'll see the world a little bit better and a little bit different. So that's me. I'm Tony. And today I've been with
Emma
and Liz.
So thank you, everyone. And don't forget to carry on listening to all of our podcasts and get in touch. And we'll see you soon. Bye.